Okay, we'll call the communications and technology meeting to order. First item on the agenda is comments from the public. Are there any comments at this time?
Can you tell us what the date is, sir?
Maybe September 3rd. Yeah.
Perfect.
No comments from the public. Item 3, monthly website and social media update.
That's where I come in. I'm glad I got my volume working. We had our pretty standard website hits this month. California, of course, was our number one hit. Virginia is always in the top five. Interestingly enough, we must have a friend in Virginia. And here's something new. How to pay my bill came up as the number one page that was looked at. It's usually employment opportunities, but how do I pay my bill? So folks want to pay us. That's good news. Board meetings, I was in the top three, and so is committee meetings.
Can you go back up to the top, the first page, Amelia? I had a question up there. Where it says users, is that a monthly number, by the way?
Yes, that's a monthly number. They only give me 28 days. I can't say why that is.
But okay, well, that's okay. Where it says users and then new users, what's the correlation of the, is the 1123 part of the 1330, or how does that work?
I think so. I'll have that answer for you at the next meeting.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was just curious. I'm just trying to get an idea of really how many users there are, and I didn't know how the new users fits into that number.
I will find out.
Okay.
I would like to, Amelia, I'd like to point out that Wyoming is on the top 10 list there, my home state.
Oh, so you all your friends. Those
That would represent, what, about 98% of the total population, wouldn't it?
Thank you.
Like 80% of the population of Cheyenne.
Right, okay.
That's all I can speak to.
I was going to say that, and then I thought, John will say it for me.
But there may be a couple people from Casper looking in on certain people who went to Casper Junior College.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, interested in how we're dealing with the elk or something. I don't know.
And okay. The page that I have up now is our Facebook page, 71 views. So not that, you know, down 38% for our page views, post reaches. It could be that they're looking at their own Facebook and not ours right now, which is,
yeah, and we don't
not what we want.
I think part of that, I don't know, this is probably neither good nor bad, but we don't actively participate. For example, I think there's about three pages, the Neighborhood Watch page, and then there's the Parents page, and there's another one. And we don't actively participate on that and encourage or drive people towards our website. So I think that's part of the reason we don't get any real activity on that site.
Okay.
For whatever, you know, it is what it is. Okay. Is that it for the webpage statistics, Amelia?
Yep, that's all I have to say.
Okay. Follow up on theft and vandalism.
John, this is Tom Hennig. That's me.
Okay.
And what I want to say is that the new general manager for the RMA and I have spoken about a half dozen times. We've met once, and we're going to meet on a regular basis. But what we decided to do is come up with a way to do some targeted enforcement on the golf carts.
Uh-huh.
The golf carts are running stop signs. They're going places where they're not supposed to go. They're having underage drivers and all the stuff that we all know about. And so it's nice to be working with a new general manager who's open to the opportunities of working together. And, you know, we all know that the Sheriff's Department set up shop at the Wooden Bridge and issued some citations and did some other enforcement issues. And I think that made a big impact on violations. But we talked about it a couple months ago, and we decided to wait for the new GM, and that's what we're going to do. So he and I are going to meet and discuss what our options are. Again, for enforcement, we put the cameras up at Chesboro, which I think have had a big impact. We have not had troubles with the buoys since we put the camera up. And then we're just trying to figure out the power situation for the cameras that we already have on hand for monitoring the village traffic going in and out, as well as the road either way, either direction. So in addition to that, we continue to do hotspot patrolling when we get notification that there's, you know, people are congregating here or playing basketball too late at the park at Riverview and stuff like that. We do focus patrolling on that, you know, as it comes up. And basically that hotspot moves around based upon what the folks are up to. So right. That's what we're doing with theft and vandalism. And also we're going to try and have a more clear dialogue with the sheriff's department. You know, I'm going to try and meet with the lieutenant who apparently lives out in the district. So that's kind of the follow-up on theft and vandalism.
Okay.
And Mr. Merchant, I am here with Linda Butler. She would like to make a comment.
Oh, okay. She's sitting, what, in the office next to you? At
yes, that's exactly right.
Okay, 6 feet away, no doubt, right?
Yes.
So, Tom, I spend a lot of time walking on that cart path, that's pedestrian cart, bicycles, everything, that path along the river before you go over the wooden bridge. And the speed limit for anybody is 10 miles per hour, but nobody in their carts goes 10 miles an hour. Occasionally, somebody will be going 10 miles an hour. It's kind of a speedway, and it's not just kids, it's everybody. So the signs for 10 miles an hour, there's a couple left, but they have been hit or taken down, and there's no enforcement on that section of the cart path that's for everybody. So one of the things I would like to see happen over there is some type of monitoring and some type of more signage, different signage, whatever needs to be done. It is RMA's property, if I'm not mistaken.
Definitely. That's the first I've heard of that being an issue. So let me, I'll bring it up with Kevin and see what his thoughts are.
Okay.
I use that frequently as well on my bike. And it's the problem over there, Tom, it's compounded by the fact that it's a multi-use shared path, and it's not extremely wide. So it is a hazard, and those, there's a lot of walkers, a lot of dog walkers, a lot of runners, there's bicyclists, and we have the carts, and it is the speedway. I mean, Linda's correct in that assessment. Okay. Item five, any other comments on four? Badges?
So this is kind of an interesting deal. We have decided to outfit all of our employees with employee badges because occasionally people don't know who we are. So you can see on the screen, this is what we've got going on. And I expect us to be wearing badges probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
I never thought about that, but I mean, I would think that if one of your folks rings a doorbell, just like Smut or AT&T or anybody else, people have every right to expect to see that badge and know that they're really talking to somebody who works for whoever is ringing the doorbell.
So that's just an FYI, badges for district employees.
Does it make any sense to link that to a from a computer standpoint to link it to a logon?
Not at this point in time. It's just a small, it's very simple. It's not technology. It's just badges. At some point, if the need was there, we could put RFIDs chips in them. And as we went in and out of, you know, gates to like the water plant or the front door,
right,
the badges to activate the unlocking and locking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, in this smaller community, the bang is worth the buck there. I just think it's good to have people's faces and names on the ID badges, like you said, if we're going to go knock on a door or if we're talking to somebody, they can know who we are.
Right. No, I agree. Good idea.
Okay.
And then here is what...
Oh, first of all, can I go backwards? I want to thank Mamie Chayansky, top right, for this, doing a really nice job on this project. Hmm.
And that's, I'll verify that is Cindy in the picture. I can, I will vouch for that. Okay.
And then security is going to have a little bit different badge. I'm trying to open that up. Here it comes. I just want to continue. Just want to view the document. My computer likes to keep me safe from myself.
There it is. There you go. No.
Oh, they're the same. Anyway. Okay. Securities is going to look a little different.
Has a little star on it.
Okay. Cool. Good idea.
Yeah.
Is this you, Tom? The COVID plan?
It's just a repeat of the same thing over and over again, and we refine it as we get more information. So this is Elizabeth Richardson put this together for us. She's our new front office person. And it basically describes what we're doing. If anybody asks the district if we're prepared for reopening or how we handle COVID-related issues, this is our document. So it's a living document, and we're waiting to reopen. You know, at this point in time, we're anticipating reopening eventually. So we're putting some stickers on the sidewalk out front. We're putting more advanced or more current stickers or signs on the doors. And then this is probably a good time to say we've agreed with the county registrar or voters to allow the district's conference room to be a polling place for the election in November.
Right.
They have some very complex ways of handling this, and we're letting them, they're really desperate to find places that are going to be willing to stay open for polling. And so we've agreed to do that.
The other thing we have, I don't know where we are with this part of it, but we have always, not always, but for many years, we have had the actual voting ballot drop in our lobby. I don't know if that's happening, or they're mentioning that, or where we are with that. You might want to check that, because traditionally it's been you come in the CSD lobby, you put your ballot in, and you leave.
We are doing that, John.
Okay.
They're going to bring the box in 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, and you know, if we're able to have the lobby open, we will. But if not, we will put the box out every day.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And we have a camera. We have a surveillance camera that is pointed at the door there, so there'll be safety. And then if it turns out that it's raining, I guess we'll put up one of those little pop-up tents or something.
Okay.
We've agreed to do both those things. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Good. Thanks. Okay. The other thing, just real quickly, where are we and what can we do at this point? Are we allowed can our employees come and go in any number? Can they all come to the building at the same time? I know the public can't, but what's the rule for our employees?
Well, we're following the governor's order, and that if we're able to work at home, work from home, we do.
Okay.
And if there is a need to be in the office, we come to the office and we practice the rules. We social distance. We wear masks if we're in the hallways or common areas. If you're in your office and somebody pops into your office, everybody has to wear a mask. Elizabeth puts on personal protection garment 3 times a day, and she goes around the office and wipes down the common places like countertops and door handles and faucets and stuff. And if there's a need, for instance, Linda's in the office today because it's convenient for her to be right there with Amelia, but they're in our conference room, they're apart from each other, and most likely they're wearing a mask right now. But we're practicing what everybody tells you to do: social distancing, wear a mask, keep everything clean, and wipe up after meetings and stuff like that.
Cool. Okay. No, I just wanted to double check, you know, this stage 2, 3, 4 stuff at this some point all starts to run together. But yeah, I know I've been to a few meetings over there, and I'll verify that what you said is absolutely what we're doing.
And another point is that we constantly are in contact for our regular business with the county and the city people, and we are always checking, where are you guys at today? And still, all public offices are minimally staffed. Most of the people we talk to are working from their home, which is amazing, because when you call a county employee today, they pick up the phone and they're ready and willing to help you. And when everybody's at the office, they seem to be less open to be able to talk to you right away. So
yeah,
the work from home business has really created a lot of productivity in certain areas.
Okay, cool. that all we have on that item?
I believe so.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on. Linda, reservoir information and education.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, nothing has changed except for one area. We don't have our meeting until September 17th. And at that point, we should be working on what we've done for reservoirs and lakes in general, and then the history of Rancho Murrieta Reservoir. But what's happened in the interim is that item C on our outline of things to do is called flow and pumping. And so it was all about, or is all about, how the water goes from beginning to end, the CIA ditch, map flow, types of water, country club, common property, who owns what land around the pumps and chemicals, when and where. And actually what's going on right now with Laguna Joaquin is exactly that. And the improvements committee is working on that with Paul. So I'm hoping that we will be able to benefit from the information that gets gathered on that. And we will put that into our outline and the ultimate results from that investigation, or whatever term you want to use to talk about it. But definitely very appropriate timing, because this is a problem that everyone seems to be committed to fixing. So thank you.
Okay. Any questions, comments to this point before we move on? Okay, item 8, director and staff comments and suggestions. Tom, you have anything?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple things. We had meetings last week, and we've taken action this week related to the Laguna Joaquin midge flight problem.
Right.
We're doing another treatment tomorrow, and we're using the liquid. And it's important to note that there's a few folks out there who believe that we should be using the granular pellets, and because they felt the liquid wasn't as effective in the past. Well, after meeting with the SAC YOLO mosquito and vector control people, the biologists of the world, they told us that the liquid, if applied correctly, is far more effective than the pellets. And the way we apply it is we have some tubes that go down along the bottom of the basin, and it distributes the liquid that way. And so it stays there, goes into the gunk at the bottom, the sludge at the bottom of Laguna Joaquin, and it creates an environment that kills off the midge flies before they can float up to the top and fly away. So we're doing that, and I've contacted, there were four residents who put together a petition to talk about the problems at Laguna Joaquin, and I've talked to one of those folks, and I've left messages with the other four. So I think they're aware that, you know, we're doing something, and I think a lot of people think there's a better way to handle it, but we're following the biology from mosquito and vector control. The other thing we're doing right away is we're installing a couple of bug catchers, and basically it's a light, and when the bugs fly in there, it zaps them dead, and it allows us to kind of track when the bugs are hatching, and we pay attention, and hopefully that helps us decide when we're going to do treatments in the water and stuff. So we're working hand in hand with the county folks on trying to do the best we can to address the midge fly problem. It's important to note that, you know, midge flies are everywhere, and they're in fast moving rivers, and they're in lakes and ponds and retention basins. It's just the atmosphere that's created from the drainage into Laguna Joaquin is their happy zone. So they've always been a problem. You can go back 20 years and there's discussions on how to deal with the midge flies. So I think other than doing the major dredging of Laguna Joaquin, I think it's just, we're just going to have to follow up with the best we can do every year. And it'll go away pretty soon as the weather gets cooler. So those are the two things I wanted to comment on in this communications committee meeting.
So do we, I know from what Paul put up, are we going to continue then, like with just what you discussed, are we going to continue to update the website with the actions that we are taking? And here's why I'm asking. I'm trying to think of a way, if we're really going to do that, and I think it's a great idea to do it, I'm trying to think of a way to drive more traffic towards it. But first of all, we are going to do that, correct? I mean, we're going to continue to tell the midge fly saga on the website.
I think that's a great idea. I will work with Amelia to create one of those pages that flashes up at the front. What are they called, Amelia?
A carousel page.
Yeah, we'll have a carousel page of what we're doing to combat the midge fly problem.
The other thing, just along those lines, I mean, we're having a lot of internal discussions on the, you know, both financially and operationally on security for the long term. And that's going to generate actions in the community, you know, in terms of public outreach and the impact of the security tax and what we need to do to correct the existing condition that we have financially. I'm wondering, I'd like to, once we get that established, I'd like to get some of that up on the website as well. Like, you know, once we come up with, you know, after the next meeting or two that we have with the board, as we come up with more and more concrete ideas or a roadmap on where we're going, I would like to make sure the public is completely aware of what we're doing.
Okay, I'll get that up as well. I could actually make individual pages that are static links on that front page. Yeah. So that we could have, you know how on the on the board meeting page, I have the board meetings for the whole year. I could keep like a running conversation of things that have happened on that page too, so that people could see the history of what's transpired.
Yeah. 'Cause it's difficult. You know, we have board meetings and we generate minutes and we approve them at the following meeting. And that whole packet thing is from a public outreach standpoint, more than we need and overwhelming, and nobody's going to get in there and into the weeds and go through that whole thing. So, I mean, it might be like we've done with the pipeline traditionally, it might be something to think about doing on the website is like a, you know, here's what's new from the last board meeting or something.
We're doing that.
Linda's has a comment.
I have several comments.
Okay.
Number one, we'll start backwards. Amelia and I have been meeting and we have been putting together a template for the pipeline. And one of the things that's on the template is comments about what has happened in the committee meetings. Some just references to not that we bought a truck, but you know, what happened at the meeting under each area that was covered on the agenda. So I think you will enjoy and like some of the changes that we're making. We're putting in several regular template type sections. We've broken it down by page, and it should be pretty interesting. Number two, Tom. At the last improvements committee meeting, there was a lot of conversation about the way to fix the problem. Paul has done an amazing job of putting together the midge fly problem, but it's not just the midge fly problem. It's the basin problem from what I understand. And there have been a lot of suggestions made. And from what I understand also at that meeting, they are going to continue to research this and find ways to not only help take care of the midge flies, but also the algae, et cetera. Please tell me that we're not stopping at midge flies and at this situation with them, and that it's because it's going to go away in the fall, that we're not going to continue to look at that whole San Laguna Joaquin Basin and figure out how we can do that, fix that.
Linda, we're not stopping at the midge flies.
Thank you.
Again, we're kind of trying to track the hatches for that and other bugs, but we're going to engage someone. We're thinking about who to kind of look at the whole drainage system as water gets into Laguna Joaquin through the drainage system. That's one thing we're going to look at. We're actually investigating, and it's a slow process, but we're investigating pulling the sludge out of the bottom of the basin, which has never been done, so 50 years in the making, to pull the sludge out and possibly sell it or give it to the solid waste, to the Kiefer landfill.
Right.
As what's known as daily cover, and you're allowed to use the sludge from the bottom of retention basins for that. I've reached out to them a couple times. I've yet to hear back. So I need to up my ante on that communication. And, you know, but that's a very expensive, drawn out process. You know, in the past, they've done some drainage of the lake. And if you look at if you do go back to the improvements committee, and maybe we ought to post that letter from 20 years ago or 30 years ago, the guy who used to run, you know, work in Paul's position at the district. And he just mapped out what the options are, you know, drain the lake, make it bigger, add more water to it, discontinue pulling water out for irrigation of the lands around Laguna Joaquin, cut down on the fertilizers, modify the drainage system to catch the particular, you know, stuff before it gets into Laguna Joaquin. So no, that's not going to go away. Hopefully the outcry goes away when the midge flies quit hatching in the next few weeks. But we do definitely want to look at a long-term improvement, but that's going to be very expensive, I think. So we have to at least put it on.
I be that as it may, I think the community needs to see and understand the various options. So I would like to suggest that, as with security and what was the other one today, that you're going to have a rotating.
I was going to add
recent board activity and
Whenever we have information about Laguna Joaquin, that we make that available in the pipeline or online, etc.
Yes, and you know, to be honest, it always comes down to the money, and yes. It always comes down to who benefits. And you know, if you live around Laguna Joaquin, it's a major issue. If you drive by Laguna Joaquin every day, it's somewhat of an issue, and
it's a property value issue, Tom.
Yeah, I agree.
In that way, it is an issue that the whole community needs to be concerned about.
Well, and it, as part of that conversation, I mean, you know, both Tom and I have been in some fairly substantial meetings on what is the best way to proceed with this, and nobody is backseating the problem, but it is not an immediate fix. It is that is not going to happen. I mean, it's an extensive, and it involves everyone. It involves the CIA ditch, involves drainage master plan, irrigation from RMA, the pump station at Laguna Walk. It's all involved. So, you know, part of this is coming, bringing together a long range plan. And once we have something that looks like a long range plan, I think that's pretty much the time we want to make sure the public's aware of what we're doing. And probably at that time we would know how much it's going to cost. So it's a little premature for that, but at least now everybody's aware that we are working on it extensively.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, John.
Anything else? Any staff comments, public comments?
Yes. Looks
like Paul has his hand up.
I've been wanting to comment that as it relates to communications, it looks like somebody had posted something on the Nextdoor application, and I've been receiving a lot of calls. Apparently, the whatever it says on there, no one's quite saying exactly what's there, but they're saying that if you have midge flies, call Paul. And so I've been swamped with calls, and so if we could have, information like we discussed up on our website and have our social media page, like Facebook or whatever, point back to our webpage as well. And if anybody that has a Nextdoor application that has access to that can point back to our webpage for information, that would be great.
I'll do that for you. I mean, part of the frustration with that, Paul, is way back when they introduced this, Suzanne and I worked both inside the system and outside the system to try and get CSD access to that, even to the point of trying to let them use my account. And unfortunately, Nextdoor just has absolutely no interest in number one, letting us use it, and number two, consolidating it into a way where we can reach both the north and the south. But it may be time to try and do that again so you folks can at least get an idea of what's going on. I mean, the police use it, the utilities use it, and we're kind of pseudo both of those conditions, and I don't know why they just have prohibited us from opening an account, but we can try again.
If we could just point back to our website, that's where people need to contact yeah. us directly and find information directly, because the people that have contacted me are exasperated that I don't already know what's been posted on Nextdoor, and they
start. I have an account. I don't go in there very often either, but I've been in there mostly when I've had information on traffic and all that stuff we're working on with the county. I use it occasionally, but I will go in there and I will do that. I will take care of that.
Thank you.
Anything else, anybody? Okay. In that case, then we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Thank you.